Welcome to this week's sermon at Village Presbyterian Church. At Village, we seek to be shaped by the life of Christ, to practice authentic friendship, and serve the world. You're invited to join us at either our Mission Campus or our Antioch Campus. For now, we hope you hear a word for your own life in this sermon.
A good warm-up, isn't it? That's right. Good morning to you all, and I hope that the passing of the peace warmed you up, for today's scripture is going to be Jonah 4, the entire chapter. So get ready. It's not that long, but that's okay. Now, if you wish, you may find this passage in your pew Bibles on page 845. But first, let us prepare our hearts through prayer. Father in heaven, we stand amazed at the great mercy and grace that you have shown towards a fallen race of sinners. By rights, we should be eternally separated from your holiness and goodness, for we have rebelled against you in thought, word, and deed. And yet, in loving kindness and tender pity, you reached down to fallen humanity and lifted us up. Thank you for your incredible forgiveness and your amazing grace towards us. Help us to hear your word with compassion. Amen. Now, if you recall, at the end of last week's exciting chapter, God had granted mercy on the city of Nineveh. But this was very displeasing to Jonah. Oh, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh, Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning. For I know that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Then Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. Now, the Lord God planted a castor plant and made it come up over Jonah to give shade over his head, to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm to attack the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" And Jonah said, "Yes, angry enough to die." Then the Lord said, "You are concerned about the plant, for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and it perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left. Ah, and also many animals. The grass withers, flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever.
Well, we've been journeying with Jonah for several weeks now, and the story finally comes to conclusion. Actually, saying it comes to conclusion is overstating it. It actually just stops. The story stops with Jonah and God in mid-conversation. God asked Jonah, "What about all these animals? What animals? What animals are we talking about? Where did the animals come?" It almost makes me wonder if the original intent was there was going to be a sequel, a Jonah part two, where we would discover, where we'd learn whether Jonah ever grows up, and we'd find out what God is talking about with these animals. Alas, we are stuck just with this. We find our reluctant prophet struggling to wrap his head and heart around this truth that the grace of God is extended to those whom Jonah simply cannot be gracious to. There's a difference between Jonah and God, and it makes him mad, Jonah, that is. See, remember, to be fair to Jonah, Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. Assyria was Israel's enemy. You may remember that Assyria invaded Israel, and they conquered everything north of Jerusalem. The practice of the Assyrians with conquered peoples is they move them around. They scattered them across the ancient world. They broke down communities and families and tried to erode culture. 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel were scattered across the ancient world. And so the hatred for the Assyrians was deep and long-lasting. To be gracious to them, it was too much for Jonah. His disgust fills every aspect of his speech. He protests and storms out of the city and just sulks on a pouch on a hillside, watching the city, waiting to see what will happen. The only thing positive that happens in Jonah's life is there's a bush that grows up. It grows up and provides Jonah some shade from the burning, scorching sun and from the steam coming out of his own ears. But then just as quickly as the bush appears, the bush withers and dies. And this is the last straw. Jonah can't handle it anymore. He throws another temper tantrum, and God says, "Is it right for you to be angry?" And Jonah says, "Yes, angry enough to die." God said, "Wait, you want to die because of the bush? You didn't make the bush. It's not your bush. I made the bush. It's my bush." You see where God's going with this argument. It's my bush. Why? And besides that, what about Nineveh? They are mine too. There are 120,000 people who don't know their right hand from their left. Should I not care for them whom I created, who belong to me? And then all of a sudden, out of left field, God says, "And what about the animals?" What? How did the animals get in here? Who's talking about animals? Now, I know there may be a division in the house here. For some prefer animals to people. I know some folks who love their pets more than their own children. I'm not judging. I don't know their children. At our house, however, when it comes to pets, we failed. We had a cat for 15 years. Clawed every piece of furniture in our house. Open the door and there's baby birds or bunnies left on the welcome mat. See how proud she is. The cat did like to sit in your lap, but our cat would drool on you. I've never known. I think we had the only cat in the history of feline that would drool. Our cat would drool. So you know, about 5 years ago, we moved over to Brookside, a new neighborhood. Our cat liked to go outside. One day, our cat just didn't come home. She moved in with some people down the street. She upgraded. And now she just lives with them, and she never comes to see us anymore. And I'm really broken up about it. So if God said to me, it's true, I'm broken up about it, darling, I am. If God said to me, Tom, have you considered the animals? No, I haven't considered any animals. No, now don't think pets here, all right? In Jonah's day, they didn't have pets. Think raccoons or porcupines or oxen. They had animals. They just didn't have pets. So why in the world would God bring up the animals? I think there's a serious point. I think the story is reminding us that God's grace is always more expansive than we imagine. The story reminds us, as people of faith, we are always struggling to keep up with God. Poor Jonah is doing everything he can to wrap his head and heart around the fact that the grace of God includes the people of Nineveh. And as soon as he begins to think about that, God said, but have you thought about the animals? You know how I love me some animals. We always struggle to keep up with God. I've had this dream. It's a recurring dream, actually. I've had it a number of times. I dream that I'm driving up Mission Road, and when I get near the church, I see that the parking lot is just filled from north and south. It's just filled, and that reminds me that there's an important event going on that I'm supposed to be present at, and I'm late. Sometimes it's a memorial service. Once it was a speaker I was supposed to introduce. A couple of times it's been Easter Sunday, which is unfortunate. So the parking lot is full, and I have to park two blocks up Mission Road, up by Homestead. I have to park up there, and I get out of my car. My robe is in the back seat. I don't know why, but it's always in the back seat in the dream. I get my robe. I start running down to the church, and when I get to 66th Street, the building gets up and runs two blocks down the street and sits down. So I run some more, and as I get close again, it gets up, and I chase it all the way to 99th Street. I do. Now, it does not take a trained therapist to interpret this dream. Sometimes all of us feel like we can't keep up. Sometimes that's true with our schedules. But when it comes to God, it's always true. We never completely get it. God has always moved ahead of us. Here's what I think the takeaway is. We are always, as a church, as a people of faith, we're always going to be chasing after God. We'll never finish the journey. We'll never finally understand all that we're supposed to understand. We'll never finally love all that we're supposed to love. Poor Jonah, as soon as he's wrapping his head around the fact that God loves Jonah's enemies, then God says, well, think about the animals. I created them. You didn't make them. I created them. They belong to me. Should I not care even for them? So I'm thinking about this on World Communion Sunday. I love this day. Because on this day, we remind ourselves that the table's not just for us. The table is for all of God's children in every place and time. The love that is served at this table is intended for all. At this table, there is a place for prisoners and poets, for moderates and extremists, for one percenters and the desperately poor. There is room at this table for the young and for the old, for every last person on the face of the earth. And all of a sudden, I wonder if God says to us on this day, but what about the animals? I'm serious. Should we assume that the salvation revealed in Jesus Christ is intended just for us? Or does God also love every creature that God has made? Plants and planets, stars and starfish, streams and winds, and even bush-eating worms. Because God made it all, why would we be surprised to know that God cares for it all and that it is our calling to do the same? Because there's no limit to the love of God. When God and Jonah are talking about that, the conversation can't end. It can stop for a moment. But there's no limit. See, here's the thing about us as a people of faith. We're always going to be struggling to keep up with God, because the love served at this table is for you and for all, for everyone and for everything. Imagine that. Or at least try to. Pray with me. Gracious God, we believe. Help our unbelief. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon at Village Presbyterian Church. Learn more about us at villagepres.org, and we invite you to join us again next week. Thank you for listening to this week's sermon at Village Presbyterian Church. Learn more about us at villagepres.org. And we invite you to join us again next week.